It would be nice if some younger brothers could pray and let the Spirit flow. Strengthen the spirit of our brother. Flow freely tonight, Lord. We pray also that you can reach our hearts tonight. Speak what is on your heart, Lord. Let it also be in ours. We thank you for your word, Lord. Give us light into our hearts. We want to open up our hearts, Lord. Yes, Lord, give us ears, Lord, to hear. Give us grace to receive your word into our hearts, that we take it to heart, Lord. Let the Spirit work in us tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your word is full of life. Yes, Lord, we praise you. Your word is full of spirit and life. We pray that you continue to speak to us, Lord. Give us your word and the adequate food, Lord. Also, thank you for the spirit that flows. Thank you for the flow of the spirit. Everybody shall be reached, Lord. Lord, we want to cooperate that the Spirit may flow.
Ja, lob den Herrn. Der Geist wirkt.
Praise the Lord. The Spirit works love for the building up in oneness.
Weitermachen, fortsetzen über
tonight we want to continue what we were speaking this morning, and I would like to mention some other verses and some things that were talked about in the previous meetings. Let's come back to the title, to our topic, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. What is it? It should be done. It should be done by the Spirit. But what? What is it? Let me start with saying that this it are many things. There are many things that the Lord wants to work through His Spirit in our personal life, in our family life, in our work life, in different places, with our neighbors, with our friends. The Lord wants to work something through His Spirit. Even when we have an exam, some before this conference had their A-levels exams, some have them afterwards. They have to be well prepared, but we can have trust that the Lord gives His wisdom and gives His Spirit as well for that. Everything shall be done by His Spirit, also in family life. The children, the parents, how can we live together in peace? It will be done by His Spirit. Sometimes we don't know how that works, but we know through the Spirit, and often we experienced how the Lord saved in a practical way. Not through might, nor by human wisdom, not through anything else, but by His Spirit, it will be done. So this it will be done by His Spirit can be applied to many different situations. And if we have a closer look into Zechariah, we can also interpret it also to be the work of the Lord, the lampstand of the Lord, the testimony that the Lord has during this age and will even have even more. How shall it be done? How shall this building up be done? It will be done through His Spirit, not by might nor by power, but through His Spirit. And this morning we read some of these verses and we were talking about it and had fellowship about it. And what I found so precious was that this was one lampstand fully made of gold. This is a type of the church that is standing there, that the Lord is building, fully made of spirit, up of spirit, of gold. The Lord is not content with anything else but gold. If we go back to the Old Testament, there was a whole lump of gold, a whole ton of gold was used. There was a beautiful shape, a glory, fully made up of gold.
Wie wird diese Herrlichkeit des goldenen Leuchters versorgt?
And how is this glory of the golden lampstand being supplied? How does it shine through the rich supply with the oil? As we heard today, there were several pipes that supplied the lampstand with fresh oil, that gave supply so that light could shine, so that the lamps could shine and burn. And these pipes, they always have to be free so that the rich supply can be able to flow. Something needs to flow through. Sometimes there are blockages, smaller or bigger ones in us. The Spirit wants to flow, but it's blocked. There are situations this morning or this afternoon, I was reminded of my baptism, that at that time there was a blockage in my heart. I was together with another young brother. I made an appointment with him, and we took courage, both of us, to get baptized, and it was not such a good idea. Sometimes I was hurt and I could not go into the water. The other time it was that hindrance and this obstacle. And in that time, it took weeks of a blockage. Something was hindered that wanted to flow. And finally, when I got baptized, I had the impression, now it's flowing again. It's flowing through. Baptism is nothing small. But it is a step in obedience of faith in which we testify, I was crucified with Christ. And with this step, God will go on with you. And on the other hand, I have to say that there are sometimes not so big things. Sometimes it's nice to hear about saints who tell us about a big, strong experience with the Lord, when they came into the church life, when they got saved, when they first, for the first time, tasted the Spirit, when they first called the Lord, and they realized that something was liberated, released out of them. And then sometimes some of us have grown up in the church life like me. And in a certain sense, there was not this special moment that happened in my life. I can't tell you when I got saved. I can't say when I came into the church. But I can tell you, I am in the church. I can testify that the Lord showed me His church, that the Lord showed me His spirit, and that is the experience of many of you who grew up in the church life. Maybe you didn't experience that moment, but we can still testify that the Lord worked, that the Lord brought us into His plan and showed us something. And today He's flowing through us. And sometimes, through this flowing, the river gets stronger. At the beginning, it starts trickling, and then it's getting stronger and stronger, and finally the whole tube, the whole pipe is free, that the stream of the oil can flow. That what I want to say with that is that we don't need to wait for a certain or special moment or special experience. Praise the Lord for all those who had it. But for all those who didn't have it, the Spirit can still flow. And the Spirit always wants to have room to flow through us. Sometimes it may happen that we are a bit distracted or we shrunk back a little bit in our faith. It didn't always go up the mountain, like it was in the wilderness when they turned around in circles. And maybe it goes back in your experience. What are you doing then? Are you seeking the mistake? Are you getting discouraged? Are you throwing it up all, we can open up to the Spirit again and again. And you can say, Lord, I'm here again. I leave behind what was not so good. Cleanse me, Lord. I want you to flow through me again. Brothers and sisters, there is a way that the Lord can flow through us. And there is always a way, always an opportunity to give room to this flowing of the Spirit. In these days, again and again, we have read in Philippians the verses about Philippians 1:19. And Philippians 1:19 is something that fits with it. For I know that this will turn out to my salvation. Also, his current situation in the prison was turning out to be his salvation. For I know that this will turn out for my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Someone said to me that this is not so easy to translate. We are talking about supply in the church life, but what is this supply actually? What is it all about? What is this supply that Paul is speaking about here? Sometimes there people are also talking about a network of supply, a network of drinking water, for example, of supply of drinking water from the source leading through different pipes to the taps, to the different taps where it comes out. And although this supply sometimes needs to take some deviations as doesn't really fit, but it shows that there is something flowing. There is a source and something flows out of this source and flows to the target, flows through something to reach a certain place. And the Spirit the same wants to flow through us. But how does He do it? How does the Spirit flow then? Through the Word. Through the brothers and sisters. Through prayer. I would also say through our mouth, something flows out. The Lord wants to flow.
Manchmal überlegen wir,
sometimes we are thinking, what is the Spirit then, actually? What is the Spirit? What would you say? It's not so easy to say that. We can quote some verses. The Lord is the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Yes. There are some more verses about that. But what is the Spirit then, actually? What are we talking about here? What have we been talking about the past days? How can you grasp it and understand? Some, I didn't hear everybody what you said, but I know that the Lord wants to flow. That's what I want to say tonight. The Spirit is something that is moving. It wants to flow. Or in another place he says, he who's born of the Spirit, it's a mystery, but it's like the wind. You hear how it's blowing. You don't know where it's coming and where it's from where it's coming and where it's going. But you hear the blowing. There is something moving through the Spirit. It's really surprising. We cannot describe it. We don't need to describe it. We don't need to have a full description, a definition of what the Spirit is, but what we all can do is to experience the Spirit. We can exercise our spirit. What does the Scripture say? The Word is near to you in your heart and in your mouth. In your mouth and in your heart. Praise the Lord. The Spirit wants to flow out, express itself. Therefore, he needs all of us to be able to flow. And what came out during these days, again and again, is that the Spirit has a goal. It has a direction. You know, this oil in Zechariah is not flowing into a recipient, into a container, for a later use maybe. The oil, it's flowing for the lamps. It's flowing for the shining of the lampstand. And the same is true for the New Testament. We read these verses at the beginning of the conference where it says, the Spirit was not yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Then the Lord went to the cross, and suddenly the Spirit became available. It got available for the building up of the church. And I wrote down the verses here, all the verses from Acts chapter 2. But I have to add some important verses that I forgot to add were in John 20. It starts even earlier. Here the Lord not only announced the Spirit in John 20:19. Then the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now they saw the Lord again. They had the joy of His presence. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And now 22, when He had said this, He breathed into them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." If you allow me to reformulate it, that was the first meeting, their first meeting there, right?
In
that first meeting, in their fellowship with the disciples, the Lord came and gave the Spirit. Take the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. He gave it for His work on this earth, and especially here at this point for His disciples, for those who He had called into His house, into His work. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
Und an dieser Stelle möchte ich auch der Vollständigkeit
and at this point, I would also like to add, for completion's sake, that this is nothing spectacular. In Acts 2, it became some more spectacular. But here, it was not spectacular, nothing spectacular. Just let me mention that for completeness' sake. That the experience of the Holy Spirit is not always spectacular. Don't be deceived by anyone who tells you you need this or that spectacular thing to experience the Spirit. Here it starts in a small experience that He breathed the Spirit into the disciples. And then in Acts 2, it became even more obvious. It became visible outwardly how He poured out the Spirit. They started to speak in tongues, in different kinds of languages. But at the same time, while the Lord made the Spirit available and different people, many people even got saved, what did start at that time? What was it that started? That was the building up of His church. That is really wonderful. Praise the Lord. The Lord was really directly given for the building up of His church. Those ones who got saved, the Lord fitted them together. They took bread and took their food with simplicity of heart and praised God. And the Lord fitted those together who were saved daily. Amen. We are diligently keeping the oneness. Let's read together Ephesians 4, 1-6.
Wie wär's, wenn alle Geschwister, alle jungen Geschwister,
how about all the young ones stand up and read these verses together, Ephesians 4, 1 through 6.
Nein, wie wär's mit allen unter 30?
All underneath 30 or 35, oh, those who feel young, you join them.
Yeah, Jesus.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all, in you all. Are there some things that need to be added? No. Nothing needs to be added here. All the things that he's listing here that makes possible the oneness of the Spirit, these things are wonderful. One God and Father of everything, one Lord, one faith, one body, one Spirit. Praise the Lord. There is no lack. Right? What do you say? Is oneness difficult to keep? Everything is there, actually, right? All the corner pillars have to be set, were set. One Father, one God, one and one and one and one. It's all there, right? All the pillars are there. But how come that it's sometimes still difficult to keep oneness? My impression is that it's often the small things that make oneness practical and where oneness is not so easy to keep. How about we all agree with one Father, right? Our oneness, it's no question that we are one with all of the genuine believers, but the small things, how about them? To keep the oneness in small things, to serve together. But Paul says, diligently keeping the oneness of the Spirit, to keep. You know, the Lord worked something. He gave the oneness already. It has been created since 2,000 years already. And now, the Lord said, keep it through the Spirit. Keep it through the oneness of the Spirit. And all the things that we're talking here help us to keep the oneness of the Spirit. These two realms that were shown yesterday, this narrow area, the captivity that makes it so difficult, that makes it even impossible. And then the liberty through the law of the Spirit of life. Why? Is it there? How come? Is it there? Is it available so that we can say, oh, praise the Lord, I'm free? Personally, and everybody at home, in his car, on journeys, we can say, I am free through the law of the Spirit of life. I have been free. But on the other hand, at the same time, this liberty is for the building up of the church. It makes the oneness in spirit possible. And let me even go on to Galatians. There we have a further description of different kinds of works of the flesh and of the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that surprising? Different works of the flesh were described here. They are even manifested, right? Galatians 5:19-20. Who would like to read it?
Richard. Oder willst du lieber die Frucht des Geistes lesen?
Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Actually, you don't like to read that, right? You don't really need want to name it, but they have to be named, these works of the flesh. First of all, fornication and uncleanness. In the first place, in this age, I think it is necessary at least to mention that with one sentence. It's the flesh. Many things, at least that the Western world tries to describe and define as something normal, is fleshly. It's fornication and it's uncleanness. We just have to call it that way. Although I don't want to talk too much about that tonight. Lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions. Contentions, enmities. I have to tell you a small story of the children's meeting. The one that had children's meeting may forgive me. They were talking about the Lord. The Lord even prayed for his enemies. And one of my children, we asked him, what was did you have in the children's meeting? The Lord prayed for his enemies. And the brother who had children's meeting had also already prayed for his enemies. I found that a good testimony. And that hit their hearts also. And what was interesting for me later on, we came together for praying and then asked the children then, what shall we pray for tonight? Shall we pray for our enemies? And my son said, there is none. He didn't have any. He couldn't have any idea of any enemy. So what I want to say with that is that we may not have enmities that are obvious. In the church life, where are there enmities and contentions? The big ones, I think the Lord removed them by His grace. But He is talking about many smaller things here, like outbursts of wrath, jealousies, selfish ambitions. Selfishness here is mentioned. Oh, it's my turn now. What I wanted to say for a long time, now I should say it. Now this is something different, right? We should do this differently. Well, okay. I don't continue. Well, dissensions, heresies. The Lord may save us from all these works of the flesh. There are so many. And at the end of these verses, he says, what? Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So this is not the actual problem. Well, we think a contention, well, how ugly, and it is ugly, that's right, but the thing is the kingdom. The problem is that the building up of the church is is damaged. Well, some may say, oh, a little bit of division. It's the multifarious wisdom, the variety, but it's not. Not only that, it's even hindering God's kingdom. Amen.
Hey, Jesus. Richard, magst du noch die Frucht des Geistes lesen, damit du nicht nur die Werke des Fleisches...
Die Frucht des Geistes aber ist Liebe, Freude, Friede, Langmut, Freundlichkeit, Güte, Treue, Sanftmut, Selbstbeherrschung.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is love. First of all, the fruit. How many fruits? One fruit. The fruit. It's a bit mysterious here. There are different explanations for that. I'm not sure if we even need an explanation, but I just want to say all that the Spirit works fits together. All that the Spirit works fits together in one. And the first thing here that he mentions is the love. Is love. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord works love. What do we need love for?
Alleine, ja, brauchen wir Liebe für den Herrn.
We need, when we are alone, we need love for the Lord, but we also need love, especially for the building up of His church. And there are so many things that He mentions here are good for the building up of the church. And this building up is something really specific. And we praise the Lord for such a specific building up in oneness. You know, this oneness is nothing in the clouds. There is a global oneness. That's true. But there is also a specific, practical oneness. And this oneness is in spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Through the Spirit and in the Spirit. And it's a specific one. We can praise the Lord for it. I think the rest, everybody can say something about that when there is opportunity also to praise the Lord. But let's really praise the Lord for the oneness that He's creating in the Spirit. Let's praise Him for the church in Stuttgart, in Ulm, in Karlsruhe, in Italy, in Bolzano, and so many places where you hold specifically oneness in the Spirit and it becomes visible. Therefore, we praise the Lord that it's such a solid oneness that expresses Him, that expresses the Spirit, that reveals the testimony of the Spirit and that shows that the body is one and the Spirit is one.